This episode is brought to you by our friends down at Greensmith Farm CBD. Now, if you know me, you know I'm a fan of all the things that marijuana plant can provide for us, whether that's THC and especially something like CBD. And Greensmith Farms makes an all-natural, full-spectrum craft CBD tinctures and gummies, and that can help you with relaxation, with muscle tension, things that help you out for people who don't even. If you like me and you like smoking marijuana, you understand how CBD is. But even if you don't, for someone like my wife, who just sometimes has back issues, has stress issues, she's been enjoying these CBD gummies and they have been very helpful for her. And right now you can get 20% off your order with code FUNCHES at checkout. Go to greensmithfarmshemp.com and enter the code FUNCHES, that is F-U-N-C-H-E-S, you know your boy, at checkout for 20% off your order. Hi. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Everyone, guys, girls, non-binaries, kings and queens, wherever you are, trust me, you are welcome here. So I appreciate you for listening to the podcast, for watching it on YouTube, for watching it live on Twitch, where I do our affirmations on twitch.tv, Ron_Funches. We are a couple weeks away from our year Twitch anniversary. It'll be coming up on July 18th, which I believe is a Sunday. I'm not certain about anything, but I think it is. And we will be streaming all day. I'll be doing some giveaways. I'll be hanging out, playing some fighting games, playing the games that got me into streaming, some Call of Duty, whatever we'll be playing with friends. You're welcome to come and join the Funch Bunch at twitch.tv, Ron_Funches. I also will be coming to Nashville, Tennessee for Zanies in Nashville. That will be July 23rd and 24th. So come see myself, perhaps Blair Saki. Who knows who else will be there? But it's enjoyable comedy. I'm really good at it. I'm loving it. We'll talk about it when I get into the affirmations. Other than that, I don't think I have anything else to promote. You know the regular stuff. You can go to comediantees.com, get yourself a podcast t-shirt. Go to patreon.com/gettingbetterwithron. If you want to become a Patreon supporter, there are exclusive episodes. There's a lot of perks that you can get, including free tickets to my shows at different levels. So go to patreon.com/gettingbetterwithron if you want to be a supporter of this podcast. And we truly appreciate those who do that. Now, let's get to work. I hope you're feeling strong. I hope you're feeling brave. I hope you're feeling loved, grateful for that love. I hope you're feeling free. Hope you're feeling independent. Hope you're feeling responsible for that freedom. I hope you had a great 4th of July, if that's something that you celebrate, and it's something that you don't celebrate because of your own personal beliefs, I hope you exercise that freedom. That's what freedom's all about to me. I love the 4th of July, to be honest with you. Still got a complicated history with myself. I think it has a complicated history with anyone in America, especially if you're a black man or of a person of color of any type, to live in a country that always spouts the values of freedom and being able to do what you want. And you can't tell me what to do. And at the same time, not seeming like they value you as a person and you as an individual, or and that your life isn't of matter at all. That's difficult to cope with. But as I get older and go through more things, the more I just love the concept of freedom. I love all of it. And to me, freedom isn't just the yelling at fireworks and drinking beer and eating meat until you pass out. And that's fun. That is part of freedom. But it's also knowing yourself, being responsible, being part of the community where you help others. That's a part of freedom to me. Being knowing that you have the ability to do what's right or wrong at your choice and still doing what's right. That's what's true freedom to me. That's what I think we celebrate, especially with our people in our armed service, people who sacrifice their lives and their families' lives and their families' well-being, their families' stress to protect our country or to do other things that they are told to do, depending on what you believe. But I'm not. That's not what this affirmation is about. But I just love freedom. And it's also for me, I love freedom in every form. So to me, I celebrate 4th of July just as I celebrate Juneteenth, just as I would celebrate Bastille Day, just as I would celebrate any Independence Day. And the more, and then a lot of people like, we're not free until all people are free. But I also believe in celebrating every victory in a world full of losses, in a world full of failure, where failure is nothing but a constant. Celebrate every victory that you get, because the victory was not defined. You were going to fail no matter what, but victory is not promised. So celebrate any of them that you get. And I was in Austin, Texas this last weekend doing some shows, my first shows back since November of 2019. I did a show November 2020, excuse me. But that was the one show I did that year. And this has been the first one since then. And it was so amazing. So wonderful to just get back and do the things that I love and feel that energy of people enjoying the stand-up, and for me to be more grateful of it now and more present and aware of how special it can be. So I make sure I say what I want to say and that I don't cower away from things. I just try to dig more into myself and enjoy it and enjoy that moment, because I don't know when it's going to happen again. And I think that's the beautiful thing that loss and trauma can teach you in life, is to truly enjoy every moment. And that's one of the things that makes me enjoy the 4th of July so much. I saw Cool in the Gang. That was also a good part with X-Pac. That was fun. That's just a great sentence. And it's a sentence that makes me excited that it's also the 4th of July is my anniversary of moving to Los Angeles. This will be my 8th year anniversary. This one just passed was my 8th year. And I'm just so proud of all far that I've made it, and that I'm still here when so many people have left, or so many people have passed away, or so many people are just gone. I'm still here and I'm doing better than ever. I'm still working on myself, and I love it and I appreciate it. And it also reminds me of like when I was in Austin, if you've never been there, it's they like to say keep Austin weird, and they have certainly done that, both positively and negatively. I go there and I always enjoy the freedom that they have of expression, and how many people I saw a drag queen wearing a full, it's only to be described as a full Snow White gown, riding a Lime scooter. That's what freedom is to me. That should be on our American flag, a drag queen wearing a Snow White gown on a Lime scooter. If that doesn't make you tear up and think of America, I don't know what does. So. But I also saw a lot of people who, you know, and I never like to judge anything, but, you know, Austin is full of transients and homeless people, people fighting different mental issues, and a lot of people just on different drug issues. And it tells you what the other side of the freedom can be. The other side of freedom is responsibility. You got to be able, it's a slippery slope to partying all day. The next thing you know, you living on the streets. And I'm always reminded of that from when I did open mics in Portland to do comedy now. They'll be like, hey, never get caught up in all the fun, because there's the other side of the coin. You just got to love your life And there's even a guy who came to the show who did photography, and I loved him. A young brother came to do photography at the show. He's a cool guy, and it just reminds me of like how different things are as you get future, because we were like, well, what are you going to do for the 4th of July? And he was like, I don't celebrate the 4th. I don't let the government tell me when and when not to be happy. I was like, right on, man. You do you. I love that. That's, oh, you know, that is a form of celebrating the 4th. That's a form of independence, I would say. And I completely disagree with you in all regard. But you do you. Because I think that's a viewpoint that I would have had when I was in my 20s, when I was angry, when I was listening to the coup a lot, when I was so mad about the government a lot. But as I get older and see that the positive changes that I make and affect my community is all that I can do. I can't overthrow a government, but I can get that bag and enjoy my life and go to Coolin' and Gang and see fireworks at the Hollywood Bowl, and I will celebrate. I'll celebrate the 4th. I will celebrate Juneteenth. I will celebrate Diwali. I will celebrate Bastille Day. I will celebrate anything that you give me to celebrate, because life is fucking hard. And I'm not celebrating because I fucking love America, rah, rah, says kumbaya. I'm celebrating because I made it another fucking day. And that's worth celebrating to me. Our guest this week is an amazing comedian, a true wonderful mind. Really just enjoy getting to talk to her and learn more about her. And I hope you guys do too. Oh, I did it again. I hope you all do too. You just live and you learn, you see. Our guest this week is Logan Gunselman. Enjoy it. Yes. You're just mad because I can take my mom out to Jinkies and pay half the bill.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
Oh, you know, just this is kind of the first time I've talked out loud. So good.
Well, that's good. Why are you just waking up, just getting going?
Yeah. And also just like, if I don't really have a reason to leave my house until nighttime, mm-hmm. unless I'm like whispering to myself, it's not really like, you know, I don't have a lot to say, I guess. But I mean, sorry. I just realized that my hair is for sure still wet, 'cause I forgot. They told me it was video, and I, of course, took a shower like 30 minutes ago. So mm-hmm. I'm just, you know, this will be hidden.
Don't worry about it. I tell you, the YouTube views are minimal. So don't worry.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. I don't know if you have to test anything.
No, we're going. We're doing it.
Oh, it's happening. Oh, should I? Oh, I should be recording.
I think you're fine. Are you fine? Is she fine, Halston?
Oh, okay. Oh, great. Well, then that makes... Hey, cool. Very cool. Nice. Wow, we're going. It's all happening.
It is. How have you been, Logan? Have you been back to work doing stand-em ups?
A little bit. LA like reopened yesterday. Mm-hmm. And so I've been doing mostly stand-up outside of LA once I got vaccinated, you know, just traveling to places where, you know, Arizona, where COVID was never really a thing. So you'll tell people about everything being closed and they're like, what? I don't know what you're talking about. So
yeah, I know. My mom lives in Chandler, Arizona. Mm-hmm. She's the same thing, where they're just going around grocery stores maskless for a long, long time. So it seems crazy. It's like a different, so many different worlds.
Yeah. Or where I'm like, how affected were you by the, like, was it just an annoyance for you? Or like, if you make a joke about how frustrating it was and everyone's like, this seems like a you problem. We didn't have that as an issue here. So it's interesting to see how it differs depending, like, and then I went to Iowa and I did a school, college, and they said that they were fine because everyone just already got it. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't even that it didn't show up. They were just like, yeah, no, everyone got it and is over it now.
That's a sad, that's a, these are sad states of our, you're giving me reports from the lines of how weird things are in our world. And it makes me a little upset.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a frontline reporter. It's my new job.
Logan, for people who don't know you, let's include me. I don't know you that well.
I know. I was going to say, I think we've met in passing a couple mm-hmm. times, but so it's nice to, you know, Zoom meet you, or like, this is the only ways to meet people. But anyway, I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
Not at all. I like your comedy. You're very funny. I like your style. I like, it's kind of like laid back and dry, but then very pointed and sharp. And I like that in any type of comedy. So I just want maybe introduce yourself to people who don't know you. I know you're from LA, but like, how long have you been doing comedy? Give us a little bit of an overview.
Also thank you. Obviously, I think you're really funny too, so this is cool. My name is Logan Gunselman. I don't know why I said it like it was a question. That is my name. I've been doing stand-up for technically 8 years, but that includes the pandemic. I don't know how you feel about, like, some of my friends are like, we should subtract a year. but I don't know if other people would agree, but on paper, I've been doing stand-up for 8 years, and yeah, I've been in LA pretty much, yeah, the whole time. So
where was your, so let's say before the pandemic was going, how was your career doing? Where was it at that point?
Yeah, it was the January of 2020. I was able to quit my day job and I was working on a show as a writer for the first time. So that was much like anyone. I was like, 2020, this is the year. It's all happening. And in March, the pandemic started. So we did the rest of our writing over Zoom. And then that show ended. And I've been on that sweet, sweet unemployment since then. But also, like, I'm wondering when the government's going to say no, because I said again, I applied again and was like, hey, I'm a stand-up comic and clubs are still closed. And they said, yeah, sure, you can get unemployment again. And I was like, shouldn't you guys be mad at me now? Like, I've been on it for too long. Go back out and do stuff. But it was definitely, 2020 was the beginning of a year that was better than previous years comedy wise. So that was nice for a little bit.
Let's not gloss. That's what this podcast is about. Let's not gloss over that. How did you deal with that? How did you handle that? What were the low points of that?
It was definitely hard. I started filming dumb videos with my roommate just because it would hit 8 o'clock at night. And I was like, I got to do something because I wasn't used to being home at night. And that ended up being a nice enough distraction to do. And we started putting them on TikTok. This is all humiliating. And I started doing pretty well on TikTok, and then I got banned from TikTok. So that was the big roller coaster of the pandemic, was slowly being like, oh, this is how this app works. And then being told, yeah, you definitely have to leave. I was like, well, stand-up's coming back. So, okay, fine. I'll go.
What did you get banned for? I think I remember hearing something about that, but what was it for?
So I got a DM on Instagram from some random guy, just kind of a bit of a creep, asking when I was going to get an OnlyFans. Mm-hmm. At the same time as I had to get an MRI of, I always call it a titty MRI because I don't know, it's funnier to me. My family's high risk, so I have to get MRIs every 6 months. Everything's fine. It's just a I have to do it. And my mom was asking for the images from my titty MRI. So I got an OnlyFans and just uploaded the MRI images, which are like an X-ray. They're not, mm-hmm. you can't see anything. And so I told this guy that I got an OnlyFans and if he wanted to pay to subscribe, which he did. And then as soon as you see the photos, it's very clear that they're not pornographic at all. But I posted a video explaining this whole journey, and the mere mention of OnlyFans is a bannable offense on TikTok. So that's why I was kicked off.
Seems worth it. Good joke.
Sorry?
Seems like worth it to me. It was a really good joke.
I was happy about it. And now I've become like a weirdo where I feel like a mom, where for a little bit I would like look at TikTok videos and I'd be like, that's a 15-year-old girl in a bathing suit. That seems more inappropriate. And I was like, I can't, I'm not going to what, take this to the Supreme Court? Like what is my plan here? So I just sort of, you know, moved on. But that was kind of how I would, sorry, I have like a phantom hair from when I showered and I can feel it stuck to my face. And I keep trying to get it off and I can't. But
it's going to be cool. It's going to drive up the YouTube views. People yeah. don't want to see it. They're going to want to know.
Yeah, you better check out these YouTube views. See or watch me on YouTube repeatedly touch one side of my nose. It's pretty riveting. But yeah, I mean, how was, can I ask how your pandemic was? Sure, are you tired of telling people?
No,
I don't know if I'm supposed to. I'm like, I have questions, but I don't know if I'm supposed to.
You can ask me questions. It's a free form conversation.
Well, I mean, how did you, were you one of the comics who was like, absolutely no Zoom shows or what did you do to deal with it?
It was mostly for me, just uncharted territory of being like, having to be quiet and be like, oh, I can't freak out and be like this because I have money. I'm fine. I'm going to be mm-hmm. okay. I was worried for a couple of months, but then I got a loan. I got some things taken care of. So then I was like, mm-hmm. oh, we'll be fine for at least the foreseeable future. And mm-hmm. and then it was mostly me dealing with like, this is how I defined myself. And this is who I told myself who I was. This is what I do every day. This is what I'm about. And having to let that go. I mean, I still did Zoom shows. I referred back to like, my mom has always been good with advice. And it's just about like doing what you can. Don't mm-hmm. worry about the rest. So I was like, oh, if I can do Zoom shows, does it feel as good as other shows? Nope, not at all. But I did some, but I didn't do like, one was like, oh, I'm doing 3 or 4 Zoom shows every week. I kind of started enjoying being home, enjoying my family. And then now it's just kind of trying to have a balance of that and still go back out and do stand up and still be active. But without trying to, I don't like how competitive I was. I mean, love it. Like I listen to a lot of Sarah Schaefer's podcasts, the Schaefer mm-hmm. Shakedown. And she just had this fun sketch about like, it being comedy basically being like a pyramid scheme. And I like, and the main thing, I don't really think that. I think if you do work hard, if you are lucky, that is a part of it. But if you do work hard, if you find your niche, I think you do find your way in this. But mm-hmm. I think there is also this like thing of like, keep working on your hour because you might be the next person we want to mm-hmm. give 5 hours to. And then you're that person. And then, but there's only one of those people usually, you know, for every 5 to 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I'm probably at the age I am now. I'm not that guy. So, so I'm just going to go about. And for me, it was a refreshing to be like, oh, I just love stand up. So like, it is truly like of all the entertainment jobs of like, you know, acting or writing or whatever. It is truly the only one I would do for free. It's the only one I mm-hmm. still do for free. You can get me to act for free to save your fucking life. But yeah. Stand up, I love. You couldn't get me to write for free at all on a show yeah. in a writer's room. No, be wrapped in a room with a bunch of weirdos. No, thank you.
No, I feel the same. It's funny because I feel like stand-ups do have a reputation sometimes for being sort of crazier. And most of the crazy people that I've met in entertainment are straight writers. I don't mean that they're straight as in sexuality. I mean that they write, they don't perform on stage because they treat everything like they're trying to be the funniest person. And I'm like, just go do like 5 minutes and then come back calm. Like, why do you have to? But it was a thing where I would have to constantly remind myself when I was in a bad mood during the pandemic, where I'd be like, oh, right, there's a thing that I normally do every single day and I can't do it. And it would be the same as like if not as extreme because they work harder, but like if a bodybuilder couldn't do it every day, there's some sort of like pent up aspect that is going to make it, even if you're doing stuff that is somewhat enjoyable to pass the time, you're still like, why do I just feel off? And trying to just be like, it's fine. There's this thing you did every day for years that you're not able to do. So yeah, you're going to feel weird. There's just no way you're not going to feel weird if that happens.
No, it's simple. Makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. And it's made me more grateful for now being back out and doing shows. Like I try to, even if like I did 2 or 3 shows in a week and I'm starting to feel a little bit like burnt out again of being like, oh, I don't want to go. I kind of don't want to do this show. And I was like, oh, well, then take a week off because I don't want you to get back to this. I don't want you to, you have to remember that. And it's obviously not something I can keep forever, but I like being like, oh, I fucking love this. This is so fun to me. This is where I'm my happiest. This is where I started to doing things just because I wanted to do it. And I think that's an important thing that I learned in the pandemic.
Yeah, like when jokes start to feel like just words, you're not excited to tell them. Which one thing that is an annoying, it's not that big of a problem, but there were dumb jokes I would do on Zoom shows. And I, even though I didn't do that many Zoom shows, I got to a point where I was tired of telling them. And now going back out and doing shows, I'm like, well, I could do those jokes because they're technically new, but I'm already tired of them just because I was doing them lying down on my bed while doing like a Zoom show. And it's funny to be like, well, then I guess I won't. If they're boring to me, then I just won't do it. So
no, I think that's perfectly fine. It's perfectly fine to have jokes for an era. And I think like myself, I've been trying to find some things of like, oh, maybe there's some things that even I worked on years ago that I didn't like, but they kind of make more sense now. And there's just some things that I was working on a few, you know, in, like you said, during the Zoom that just don't fly now, that don't make sense for me. So I just let it go. I'm not trying to like, I think for a lot of times it was like an arms race for me of like, I got minutes. Let me get as many minutes as I can. And now I'm just like, oh, I'm out here just having fun. I don't even know, you know?
Yeah. That's so funny because I've never, this is dumb. And obviously I'm not like, I still have to do other jobs. So I get opportunities to do comedy, but I've never thought about it in terms of time. Like it's always like, I just get it. Anytime a new joke works, that's the most exciting feeling. So I would get into doing it a lot for that and then would get annoyed when I would have to refine a set, which is its own kind of work too, like where you get a set down and you time it out. But I'm so bad at like thinking of a longer form thing. When I would do longer sets, I would know like chunks of it, but I wouldn't plan. I don't know. It's just like, it's smart. I know you're trying to avoid it now, but I was like, oh, right. Like thinking about how long jokes are is like a good idea to think about.
Yeah. I mean, it can be when you're building things that just like, this is this many minutes, this is that, and where you could use them and where they can't be used. If, you know, if a joke is 3 minutes long, then you're probably not going to try to use it for a 5 minute Fallon set or any other type of set, you know, but you will use it in your 15 or, you know, your showcasing or whatever. And so I think it also, cause a lot of it comes from like, I had my son when I started. So for me, it was a very much of like, I need this many minutes so I can start featuring and make some money. And I can need this many minutes so I can start headlining and make a little more money. So it was drilled into me from the beginning of like how much And it was always like, well, how many minutes do you, how many good material, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so that's always been drilled into me. But I want to know more about you and what got you into comedy. What made you start and fall in love with it?
Every time I say this, I feel embarrassed and I have to stop, but I did take an improv class when I finished college, cause I just didn't know like what I wanted to do.
And you got a degree in psychology?
I did get a degree in psychology. I wrote my final paper on weed. Like my entire focus was on this thing called pharmacokinetics, which is about illicit drugs and how they move through your body. So like, I did not take college seriously. I just thought, I was like, what could I write a paper on that would be fun for me? And then I was just trying to figure out what to do. I moved back home. And my parents worked in entertainment. But in the, like the, they lived in the Valley working in entertainment. Like they worked on sitcoms in the 80s. And so mm-hmm. My joke is that we're North Hollywood royalty. So it's not like,
I don't diss the Valley. That's where I live.
No. Oh, I love it. And I plan to return to it. It's like my favorite. What part of the Valley do you live in? Okay. That's a nice little, it's like near Ventura. I grew up in Chatsworth. I don't know mm-hmm. if you know where that is. Mm-hmm. It's like real deep out there.
Yeah, but nice houses out there.
Nice. There's some nice houses. There's some horses. If you like horse trails, you mm-hmm. can see a lot of those. Pretty thrilling.
And you were in a Macy Gray song too, right?
I was when her kids went to my elementary school, which I don't know if it was really close to Sherman Oaks. But one of my friends was really good friends with her kids, and we were hanging out, and my friend's mom had to go pick up Macy Gray's kids at the studio because they were there with her. And then for a song, she said she needed kids laughing in the chorus. And so she just had me and my friend. She was like, you guys go in the back and just do what they're doing. So we did. And then her assistant called my mom and was like, oh, we want to credit her. How do you spell your last name? And my mom spelled it a couple times. They misspelled it. So on the album, it's Logan Dunselman with a D. Mm-hmm. So she has a singing career. You can look her up. But the Gunselman, they left the G off.
Yeah, it's even that's more fun. Also, did anyone give you that as a nickname in elementary school or middle school? Because that seems perfect.
No, it's the no, because they didn't know, and I also didn't like. Because for years, I was like, I wonder why that singing thing never shows up. And I looked up her album that came out and looked at the songs, and then I saw that it was misspelled. So if it had gotten out earlier, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. That would have been a nickname.
Oh, if I knew you, Dunselman all day, for sure.
My friends called me Blogan. That was later, but that mm-hmm. was they focused on the first name.
Yeah, I mean, but if I'm going to do that, I'm going to call you Weapon X. That's just a simple one because I'm like, I show how nerdy I am.
Yeah.
Some fun. So, yeah. Or should I call you Weapon X? That's what I would have done every day. Every day, walking by you in a hallway. I would have done that every day. Been great. You would have hated me. but so what sitcoms did your parents work on?
They met on this show, WKRP in Cincinnati.
That's a classic.
Yeah, which that's the reaction it gets most of the time. I obviously wasn't around.
Yeah,
so,
of course.
But it seems, you know, very well liked, but it's to me, I always feel sort of, I like how a lot of this, and you're talking about getting into conversations. A lot of mine starts with, I feel bad because, but I feel bad because I was sort of in the world of entertainment, and all the kids who went to my school, like all their parents kind of worked on crews. It wasn't that it was like really fancy executives. It was just the entire film industry does have a bunch of families who make a living that way. And it was sort of the kind of expected thing, almost like the mafia, where you just join the family business. Like everyone I knew growing up all ended up in some sort of film department. And like the first jobs I had, I worked as a production assistant like during the summer, because it was just like the only world you kind of were exposed to. And then for a while I was like, I want to be a doctor and not do that. And then I moved back home and I was like, I mean, I'm probably going to go into entertainment. It's like the only thing that I don't have to do more school for.
That's like the opposite of most places where you I'm gonna run away from the family business, become a doctor.
Yeah, it was. But it's always so like I'm always impressed by people who had no exposure to entertainment and just sort of found their way. And it was sort of like that was the only place I ever saw my parents. I never saw my parents wearing suits. Do you know what I mean? Like they were working on random TV stuff. So I was like, oh, that seems good. If I never have to wear a nice uniform, that then I'll have made it.
Well, I feel like job. I've always been impressed by people who did grow up with it to me, because let me rewind that a little bit. I'm impressed with people who grew up with it, who maintain a balanced viewpoint and are able to see it as like, as just a job and as a thing. I think that's cool. And to me, like, I think one of the pluses that you have when you come from like, you know, as in Oregon or wherever you grew up outside of it, is that you're so naive to the negative parts of it that you're like, oh, it's all going to be like this, or I'm going to get there and it's going to be magical. But like to live in it and to be there and to be like, oh no, I know how negative it can be. I know how it, and to still kind of be like, oh, I'm going to still do it. To me, is takes a lot of strength. It's very brave to me.
Yeah, well, it's funny because my dad does all the time be like, isn't this a terrible business? And I'm like, this isn't helping. But it's not a parent being like, you can't do that. It's such a different form of like, though you could do it, it just sucks, but like, go for it. But I don't know if you felt similarly, but once I started stand up, it was sort of like, oh, I can do this as a job. Well, then, yeah, I'm going to try and do this as a job. And not try and do any, like it was the fortunate, unfortunate thing of once you realize that you could turn this into how you spent your time, that it was like, well, why try anything else except this?
Yeah, it's obsessive about it for so long, for probably a good decade of just being like, this is all I'm about and this is what I want to do. But I love it. It's great. And so I don't feel too negative. I think there's a time for it, for it to be just all obsessive. And then I think as I'm getting older and I want to have a family and I want to be a good husband and good, you know, just continue to be a good dad, then you got to learn to be like, oh, either like, you know, you kind of, to me, it's like you look at like the best case scenarios of the people who come before you, who are like, well, look at this person who made it to the top of this business and they had three divorces and four of this and this and that. And you're like, well, I could try my best to get there and still maybe not get there. Or I can, I mean, I've been talking about this for week after week after week. It's just been like, I can realize I've won. I can realize the game is I've won and it's great. And I don't have to keep being like, okay, what's the next level? It's like, no, you've won. You've won and you can enjoy your life and bad things will happen and negative things will happen and positive things will happen. But like for the, as if I'm just happy because I love my house, my family, my life, then I'm, to me, that's kind of like a cheat code. I don't have to like go ask this job for approval.
Yeah. And I also think too, like reminding yourself that it is a job, like even though you can get a lot of fulfillment from it, that there are other things you have to do. Like even if you were doing a job that was a job you didn't like, that was a 9-to-5, there are times where you're not working and doing other stuff. And you have to sometimes, even though it's tough, see stand up the same way a little bit and that like, okay, this is, there's time for that. And the one, like, I mean, it's because I grew up in LA, a lot of my family's here and a lot of people, like friends I've known for forever, are here. So it's a nice, like, it'll pull me out of it because I feel like there is the whole world of stand up and friends in that. But then I'll have, you know, my friends from high school will meet up for lunch and like force me to go on a walk on the beach. And at first I don't want to go because I want to go do something else. And then I'm ultimately like, no, this is good. This is a nice thing to be doing, to not be focusing on this other thing all the time.
Hope you guys are enjoying this podcast. And I want to take a time out to say thank you to our sponsor, Greensmith Farms CBD. Greensmith Farms makes the best all natural craft hemp CBD products, including CBD oil and CBD gummies. Have you wanted to try CBD but didn't know where to start or what you might be buying? That is important to know what's in there. Greensmith Farms is the perfect place to try CBD for yourself. You know what you're getting with Greensmith Farms CBD oils and edibles. They are committed to clear, informative labels, and all their products are tested by independent labs for both potency and purity. Every Greensmith's Farm package tells you exactly how much CBD and other cannabinoids you are getting and how much in each serving. That is so important. You got to know your dosage. The lab certification for all their products are tested on their website and linked to every label's QR code. And you know me, this is a product I know about. I know about CBD. I know about THC. I like to mix them both, get that entourage effects for some good relaxation and a little bit of dancing and music. But maybe you got work. Maybe you don't have time in the morning, but you got backaches, you got other issues, you got some stress on you, and you want to get some relaxation without having your mind be a little cloudy and without having to turn to other drugs. I say CBD is perfect for that. For our listeners, you can get 20% off your order with code FUNCHES at checkout. Just go to greensmithfarmshemp.com and enter that code FUNCHES at checkout for 20% off your order. That is greensmithfarmshemp.com, code FUNCHES for 20% off.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. It's good that you have that balance. I think that's another plus of being here. Whereas, like, most of my friends here are from comedy. And so, you know, that's how we know each other. But the people I'm closest to, like, you know, I know them and I love them because they'll, you can, they're always usually ones that are like, hey, how's your life? How's your family? How's your son? They're not like, what you working on? What's your next thing? What you doing? Like, to me, that's always someone who's, I can tell, like, oh, you're not really my friend. Like, you're just like comparing whatever I'm doing to whatever you're doing. And I'm not interested in that. I think, like, if you, like you said, if you look at it like any other job, like, no one likes that. That's, you're a fucking nerd if you were like, oh, I talk about this job all day and then I talk about it all night and then I talk like on the weekend. Like, dude, like, we're off the clock.
Like, like, your manager's not here. You're not going to get promoted right now. Like,
yes.
But it's, I do think it's funny. I don't want to paint with a broad brush or be unfair, but I feel like a lot of male comedian friendships seem to be more of that competitive, what you're working on. And I don't know if it's a thing of dealing with other women, but most of my female comedy friends are more, they seem more like, they rarely ask what I'm working on, to the point where I'm like, do you even want to know what I'm like? It seems more friend based. And also it's rare that they try and punch up jokes. And I feel like that's a good and a bad thing. Like, I see guys almost work like they're on a team together, like a sports team, where they're like, oh, I have a tag for you. I have a this, I have a this. And part of me is like, oh, be nice to be a part of that camaraderie. But then I also see the negative side of the competitive side of that. And it seems, what it could be that it's not gender, it's just circumstance, but it does seem like being a girl who does stand up, that happens way less. Like the focus on that doesn't seem to be a big part of the relationships that I have, at least with other female comics.
It's interesting. Thank you for sharing that with me. I didn't know that. Yeah, I mean, I think also for me, I do notice that, but I also do think it is circumstances, because I do find, I have found myself that
the further along that I've gotten in comedy, I think the less tags people have gotten for me. Mm-hmm. Like they no longer have a tag for me.
Yeah. It's also like anytime someone says that to you, part of you just, or at least me, like part of me dies inside and I get over it. But then when they go, like, they're like, can I offer this to you? And you're just like, I mean, fine, but also why are you like this? It's always
let's go into that a little bit because I've been on both sides of that. Like I've written tags for people and I think for me, like, it is also how I am on set or how I am on a thing where, like, I just like the best product and I like to help and I like to think of jokes and I think of fun bits and sometimes they're not all for me. And like, so I'll be like, oh, I thought of this. And I think it also is like, I don't think I would ever go to someone I don't know and that I haven't known for a while and be like, oh, I just heard your set. Here's a tag I thought of. But if it's someone who I've respected for a while, they know me for a bit, like when, I mean, I say this all the time, but like I wrote a tag for a joke for Pete Holmes that he like used for years and used on TV. Mm-hmm. And every time I saw it, it would just fill me with so much joy to go like, oh, I was right. That was a good idea, you know? Like,
yeah.
And so things like that, like, and I did eventually go on Twitter and go like, I wrote that. Like, but.
You're like, all right, it's time to release. Well, what you're describing, I guess I categorize them differently in my head. Cause those I'm always like, oh, with a friend that's almost like collaborating. And I feel like it happens more. It's rare. I don't know if that's how you say that word. It rarely happens. That's a hard one. That's why I honestly could never watch Gilmore Girls because I have a hard time saying Rory, and that's the name. And I'm just like, I can't watch that show. I can't handle it.
I have a lot of words that are my. I'm not going to say any of them because I'll get embarrassed. But oh, I got a lot of words that don't fit in my mouth.
That I'm just like, it's never gonna. But what I think I was talking about when it's a stranger who. Mm-hmm. Doesn't know you offering it. That upsets me because I'm like, this is the one time I get to do stuff that is just my thoughts. It's like even like if a friend, I'll try stuff that friends will offer, come up with, or I'll ask friends when I'm like, I'm trying to figure this out and we'll talk it out. But if it's someone I don't really know, I'm just sort of like, God, this is like the 10 to 30 minutes to an hour of my time that I don't have to deal with other people's input. And I can just try and work on stuff that I thought of. And I feel like when that happens, even if they might be right, I'm like, you're right. It isn't my time. It's nothing is my time. I was wrong. I control nothing.
Yeah. But I mean, you're kind of right? Like, in a way, that's a positive message. Even when you're on stage, you're not in control, right? Like, it's collaborations. Yeah, no. You think a punchline is somewhere and the audience tells you it's somewhere else. Like, so, and you listen because you want the feedback, right?
Yeah.
So, but I think I know what you mean in regards of, like, sometimes there's these situations where someone's giving you a note or giving you a tag and you're like, oh, you're just trying to do this to kind of show dominance over me. Mm-hmm. You're trying to go like, oh, that was okay, but it would be better if you did it like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying with that for sure. That's horrible. Yeah. I hate that. What are some of your goals with comedy and right now? Are your life in general, especially your life in general? Tell us some of your goals. Yeah.
My goals, I just comedy wise would love to get to a place where it's not difficult for me to be worked in at any comedy club. I'm not saying an hour that I'm headlining that everyone cares, but that I'm respected enough by my peers that if I'm passing through and a place and I've built enough, you know, relationships with other comics that if I go, hey, I'd love to do a 10 minute set. It's never a, well, who the fuck are you? It's like, oh, that's fine. Like to just get to a point where enough comics know and respect me that they're willing to give me chances to do more and more material. That's kind of always been my goal. And then to also feel comfortable walking into any sort of room and being like, I know that I have jokes that will work here. Like that I know that I can work a room like this. So that's a goal comedically, which I've never thought, like, I never thought about, first I did open mics and then I was like, oh, you can do shows. And then I started doing shows and I was like, oh, people pay you for these. And then so I'll meet people who are like, I want to do this by this age, or I want to have a special or whatever. And to my detriment, because anytime like a manager or something's like, well, what do you want to do? I'm like, I don't know, just do more stand up and have people let me do it. So it's always been a very like ill-defined goal. I don't know, in my real life, get better at not being overwhelmed by just the day-to-day bullshit of being an adult. That would be nice. It feels like it's probably impossible though. But just endless, it feels like endless errands and then you die. And I'm so tired of viewing it that way. I'm like, no, you're taking care of yourself. You should see it that way. So trying to be more, it's good to have my life in balance, whatever, just, I guess, being more comfortable with all the shit that comes with being a grown up.
Like what?
Making sure my car works fine. Not just being comfortable with everything being shitty. Like I feel like because of comedy and you live with roommates in terrible apartments for so long, you're fine just sort of being like, I can, you know, live like a raccoon and being like, you can, but you also don't have to. Like, it's okay to, you know, try and take care of your stuff. So if your car breaks down, it's not the end of the world. Like, that you got it serviced, that you fixed your computer. So if it dies, you're not just like running around with your hair on fire, just trying to be more, I don't know, planning ahead, I guess.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean. But I was like, I talked about on podcast last week where I was like, I hated banks. I didn't have a bank account, and my bank account was the cans that I kept under my thing, because I had a bunch of soda cans, and I didn't, if something broke down, it was the end of the world, because I had no idea how we were going to get it together. And now, I mean, that's been, I thank those days, because now that when I have any money in, you know, I'm doing okay. It's just, I go like, I'm never like, I still have my Jetta from when I worked on the Kroll show that I got when I was eight years ago, because I was like, it costs so much just to maintain. And I just want to be able to maintain and not freak out if something happens. It's very important, but it does. It's a real big mental shift. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like that I before would be like, I'm not even going to think about this. And I'll write down, like in a planner, like, hey, here's that, like, you should probably call your doctor's office because you need an appointment in like 2 months and you can't, like, normally I would call in 2 months and then be like, well, they're not even open. Like, they have nothing open for months. And like, why is everything so unfair? And it's like, it's not unfair. You just didn't plan ahead. Like, just, and also a lot of the time I don't plan ahead and I just continue to live my life in chaos, but I'm now making a conscious effort to do that less.
That's a good step when you know. And then you're like, oh, I don't like this as much. That's great steps.
Yeah.
You got other goals?
They're all kind of small. Would like to tune my violin that I haven't played in like 10 years. That's just been on the list. I would just want to see if I can still play. But that's something that pops into my brain sometimes. And then the half written stuff that's not straight stand up that I would like to devote time to. But it's hard, especially as stand up comes back, to focus on anything besides that. Mm-hmm. But like, so I'll get confused with writing stuff where I'm like, do I really dislike doing this, or I don't like it because it's harder and I have to spend my time alone to do it? Mm-hmm. And so then I'll kind of be like, well, if it's the second thing, I should try and finish it, versus if I just truly hate it, then I'm like, okay, well, let's not.
It's hard to know, right? It sucks so much. Yeah. No instant gratification. You don't really like it until near the end. And then somebody tells you it's not good enough. And then
that is, it's the endless cycle where like, I'll just be, I'm in a worse mood. Like when I'm working on a writing thing and it's not in a place that I want it. To me, it always feels like doing Sudoku a little bit, where you know that there's a way to do it and that people can do it, but you just can't figure it out. And I'm just like, oh, I'm an idiot. Like that's the answer. And then slowly I'll feel less that, but for like a couple of weeks, I'll like warn my roommate and my family. I'll be like, hey, I'm kind of working on a thing and it's putting me in a bad mood. Like, just so you know that I'm going to try and not be that way, but it is in my head that I'm mad about it right now. And so kind of, I don't know, trying to shorten the time of me being mad about it to me being like, oh, okay, this is okay. Would be nice.
Yeah. Seems doable. Easily. And I know you seem like you don't want like to talk about like career big goals in general. A lot of people don't. But if you don't mind, just, you know, doing me a favor and let's just talk about like, if you had like your ultimate career that you wanted 10 years from now, what have you done?
What have I done? I would say, also I'm comfortable talking about it. I just feel bad that I never have direct answers. But I would love to be able to be writing on a show during the week and then doing stand up on weekends so that I'm traveling to different cities. And then obviously when a show is on a break, you could go on longer trips. I know none of that sounds balanced, but in 10 years, it'd be very nice to be doing both of those things. It would be nice. I've written on shorter form sketch shows. I would like to try writing on different shows to see which one I like the most. I'm one of those people where I don't know what I like or don't like until I do it. So I kind of say yes to a lot of stuff because otherwise I'm paralyzed by indecision versus if I try it, then I'm like, oh, now I know what I think. So I would like to have the opportunity to write on shows so that if someone goes, well, what do you like to write? I could be like, I have an answer for you and not, I don't know, whatever you'll let me work on. but yeah, just being able to travel and do stand up on weekends and doing stand up around LA at night and then being able to write on a show during the day, spending my time, you know, eating a salad that I probably will hate in a writer's room that I'm very lucky to be getting ordered for me. That would be very cool for me.
Do people
have like specific answers? Like I want to work on this show.
Sometimes, yeah. Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
What, like, did you have, when you did it, did you have specific goals or were you more like, I would like
to do it? Well, I've been doing vision boards for years. So like every year I come up with different goals and sometimes they're very specific. Yeah. Like when I heard that Reno 911 was going to be on Quibi, I wanted to be on Reno 911 because I wanted to be on Reno 911 when it was on Comedy Central. And then I got on Reno 911. So it worked out. But then sometimes, you know, I want to be on What We Do in the Shadows. That has not happened yet. Sometimes I get different auditions for it. I haven't nailed one. Or I did nail it and someone else got it better. Who knows? One of the two.
Yeah.
So yeah, sometimes they're specific and then sometimes they are just like, I mean, like my stand-up goals used to be more specific and now they are more like, I just want to get better. I just want to get better at stand-up and want to be consistently working.
Yeah.
I don't really have any. But I think that's also because now I'm more interested in hosting and acting. So I'm not like, oh, I want five specials. To me, like, and I knew this about myself from the get-go. I'm like, I get bored and I don't like doing the same thing over and over again. So I'm like, oh, if I did a 15, I want to do it half. If I did a half, I want to do an hour. Then an hour, I don't necessarily feel the need to go and do another hour. You guys didn't watch the one I gave you that I immaculately crafted. So it's like, let me go do something else for a while.
Yeah, no, all of that makes sense because the thing that's hard, or at least for me, my favorite is when it's a good audience that's willing to let you kind of fuck around a little bit. Like, you are doing real jokes and you're always coming back to real jokes, but that they're like jokes where you always had to sort of, you really had to trim the fat on, but you wished you could talk about more, but just to make them work as tight jokes, you couldn't explore more. And rooms where people are like willing to let you explore more are always my favorite. And it's so tough with any sort of TV thing or showcase or whatever, you're supposed to be just creating jokes that like could work in a vacuum, that there's, you're not really playing off the audience that's there. And that's half, I mean, that's a huge part of why you do it, is that you can't, like, I did a show recently and like adults were sitting in the front eating fruit by the foot. And I was like, I can't not bring up the fact that you're eating 3 foot long fruit snacks at a comedy show and you're all clearly over 30. Like, that's to ignore that is crazy, but also
to ignore that I would not be comedy.
Yeah. And so that's always what gives me pause when I think about goal stuff. Cause whenever I'm trying to refine a set to show people, I'm like, ugh, that's not the part that's fun though.
Mm-hmm.
Which, and I get, again, that goes back to the job part and the work part. It's like, it's, that's, not all of it is the most fun part.
Yeah, but to me, that's like when you have both, that's when it's so killer, right? When you're like, if you guys don't give me anything, I got 45, 50 minutes. If you're dead silent, I got 45 minutes of the stuff that is in rhythm that I know is funny. If you're lying to yourselves, that's fine. But it's also great if you play along and you just let them play. Maybe I won't even get to that stuff.
Yeah,
like that's the best. I 100% agree with you. That's I was watching a lot of like Gary Shandling documentary and things like that, where because I used to think I was very much like, oh, sometimes I would cut off things that I saw and I would ignore them to focus on my plan. And then I was like, oh, you just him talking about being mindful and being in the moment. I was like, oh, it's so much more fun. And then knowing your jokes are there. But how I'm going to get there, I don't know. And like, even now I'm at my best where like, if I get on stage and I'm like, oh, maybe I know my opening joke and maybe I know my closing joke, or maybe I don't even know that. And I just like, I know the opening joke and then we'll go from there.
And then
like,
go for, that's a lot of what I'll end up doing. Or like, I'll write down some jokes that I'm like, if they're giving me nothing, here's just a list that I don't even have to reference, but I'll have it, you know, like in a pocket or something. But also so often I'll like look at it after and I'm like, I did like three of these. I didn't even do these. Like I just did. So, but I guess trying to like, I don't know if this is a liking all the aspects of it, that like when I have to edit something, that I'm excited about editing it, you know, versus being like, this isn't as fun as just like coming up with a new half form thing that ends up, you know what I mean?
No, I absolutely know what you mean. Cause I think that's always been the difference to me. Been people who you're like, I'm just going to talk about local scene when I was coming up, where you'd be like, oh, this person is funny, but they're not professional because they don't want to do the nerd work.
Yeah,
they don't want to get in there and get under the hood. They only want to do the fun.
Yeah.
And it's like, it is like, if you're going to be an entertainer and you're going to entertain, you have to entertain people. So you have to get under and be like, how can I think sometimes people confuse it with pandering or confuse it with like, trick, you know, being a carny or tricks, but like sometimes it's just learning, how can I get my message out the most efficiently? And that's like, that's going to take time. That's going to take doing it over and over again. That's going to take cutting things down and building on top of them. And I love, that's one of the reasons why my style is the way it is. Why, like, I've tried to focus more on positive comedy, because I realized like, oh, I'm going to have to work on these jokes every day. So if I'm going to have to say a lot of the same things or some of the same topics over and over, I'd rather it be about stuff I actually care about than like me pretending.
Yeah, no, it feels the same like I've never been good at like people who can write topical jokes and that are good. And I've heard, you know, very good topical jokes. It's so not my skill set at all. And it's, so it is like, we're sort of what you're saying. If I'm going to be saying it a lot, I have to at least like what I'm talking about and just sort of accepting, like, I'm never going to have a smart thing to say about like the, like, that's not ever going to be the comedy that I'm going to be doing. And also kind of accepting that I, not obscene, but I am somewhat dirty and that's fine. You know, mm-hmm. that like whenever someone's like, well, yeah, I can work clean, but as opposed to being like, I love working clean, being like, but that's not like, I respect very clean comics, but I probably am going to talk about cum at some point if you let me, like I, it's just going to come up.
I've always found been so confused by like what people consider clean and what isn't clean. Like to me, that's some of the like anti-comedy. That's holding up the status quo of things of being like, well, that's not clean. It's like, well, you just made a joke that was demeaning into an entire race or an entire group of people, but because you didn't say fuck, you're okay.
Like that it's fine.
Yeah, like.
It doesn't, like, it also, when people get upset about what they can or can't say, I'm always just like, well, you're trying to talk about stuff that has nothing to do with you. Like most of the stuff, if you're talking about another race or you're making fun of a gender that you're not, or you're making fun of people who are different or just stuff like that. And I'm always sort of like, I'm like, why would I ever act like I know about what the fuck's going on with anyone else? Like, I barely know what I'm up to. Like, so 9 times out of 10, I'm trying to figure out jokes that are just based on my interpretation of the world. So when people are like, oh, you can't talk about stuff, I'm like, well, what are you trying to just, why don't you try and talk about stuff that has more to do with you then? Like, why are you trying? Yeah. I don't know. It seems like you could probably talk about stuff that's related to you then, right?
Yeah, absolutely, right? I think a lot of times people go talk, they can't talk about the things like, oh, I think what you mean to say is that you're being fact-checked about things that you have no knowledge base on.
Yeah.
And when that happens, you don't have anything to say. And it's like, that's how things should be.
Yeah, which is why I'm also always like, yeah, I openly am an idiot. Like I don't, and that's fine. Not in a personal development way. Would love to be more informed, but I'm never going to have an opinion about stuff because I'm like, yeah, I like, it took me a really long time when Trump was president to find out that Mike Pence was vice president. I just didn't believe that a guy named Mike was our vice. I just had no idea who it was. And then I was like, no, I know this for sure. Everyone's talking about like, so I'm going to just talk like, I'm like, well, I can talk about, you know, my period and like a movie I saw probably like that's my realm of experience.
Probably the movie, but I'm not so sure. Definitely the period. Logan, it's been very fun getting to know you a little bit better, which because I didn't know you much at all. Where can people find you and what do you want people to know about you?
Likewise, hopefully we'll run into each other in real life without headphones on. but I am on Instagram at places I took a shit this year is my handle. And I'm on Twitter at a dirty gunts. G-U-N-T-Z. Should I have changed these years ago? Probably, but that's what they are. Anytime I have shows or stuff, I usually post it on those places. So, you know, check it out.
Check out places I took a shit this year.
Yeah, it's it's not in no way graphic content. And often people are like, this has nothing to do with shitting. And I'm like, look, I took the handle and I'm never going to let it go. I'm sorry. That's what it is. But yeah, that's where I exist on the internet.
I love it. You're a very funny person just in general, just in your pauses and talks. So it seems like you're in your right career path to me. Maybe you never heard, but this is the end of the podcast. And what I ask you is for a piece of advice, for a nugget of wisdom, a little pearl. Maybe someone's passed it down to you from your family. Maybe you read it in a book called Truth or Wisdom. I don't know. Another book Blair Saki would own. I don't care what it is, as long as something that'll help our getting better audience to get better.
Okay. I have two things for getting better. One is mental related. I thought about this. And if someone else has said this before, look, I'm sorry, but this is one I use a lot, is if I'm really, you know, being negative in my own head, I'll stop and I'll be like, would you ever say this kind of stuff to a close friend of yours? Like the stuff you're saying to yourself, would you ever say it out loud to any other person? And almost every time I'm like, yeah, no, I would never say any, like, this is very mean. And then I'll be like, hey, so maybe be nicer to like treat yourself like a friend. And then the other thing that's very important in my life is floss before you brush. Mm. That's been a huge thing for me. Mm-hmm. It's made me floss way more, which again, that adult stuff, you just do it before. And then you don't have to force yourself to do it when you're done. Your teeth are already dirty. You're going to brush them anyway. Just floss first.
Also, I think it makes sense. When you floss, you're going to loosen that stuff up. Maybe you don't get it on that first floss, but then that brush comes through.
Then that you come in and brush. And if it's been a while since you flossed and your gums hurt a little bit, look, we've all been there. I'm there a lot. When you brush after, it massages your gums, feels better. You're not walking around afterwards feeling like you just really stabbed yourself in the gums. So be nicer to yourself is the more important thing, but the other one is good too. That's a good one.
Those are both very good advice. Both practical.
Thank you.
I think very helpful. And just in general, Logan, I've enjoyed our conversation with you. I'll let you in. I mean, it doesn't matter every week, just about every week. I get on here about 3:50 and I go, I don't want to do this.
I get that. I was going to ask you what your favorite, if I'm allowed, what your favorite nugget of wisdom has been that you've heard from someone. Not that I'm trying to make it a competition, but I'm just curious.
The one that just comes to my head, so I guess that would be the one, was I really like something Angela Johnson said about just focus, where you focus your attention, and to look at like your projects and your life and things as a garden. And that's in order to have the best harvest, sometimes you're going to have to choose which plants get watered and which ones don't. And that being okay with letting some of them die. And I think that, especially as a stand-up, especially as a single dad, I had never been okay with letting anything go and letting anything die. If it was a project, I wanted to do it. But sometimes that was a detriment to myself mentally, to my health, to my energy, to my family. And so I've become more precise of like, I want to water these things. And since I'm giving them more attention, they seem to be responding better. So I really enjoyed that piece of advice that she gave.
It's also a nice visual.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really was. You're like, yeah. Oh, I see it.
Yeah, I was like, wow, I have a very busy garden in my head right now. And I'm just like, oh, it'll do better than the physical single plant that I have. not all my pandemic plants fared very well, so I'll focus on the mental project garden instead.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You only got so much water, so you got to pick and choose. Mm-hmm. You got to pick and choose, Logan. Mm-hmm. I hope we do run each other. You're very funny. You seem to just have a good spirit and seem to be a good person. So I wish you much success, and I hope that you enjoyed your time on the podcast.
Oh, thank you, and you as well. And this is so nice. And yeah, I mean, all the same. I have nothing new to say. That what you said is, yes, you're funny, and I hope we run into each other, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you, Weapon X.
you're well. I don't know if you would say you're welcome. I just, I hope people watch. I just didn't. Anyway.
All right. Thank you for being here.
Thanks.
Thank you. You guys for listening. Bye.